Now, I've been hitting up, like, thrift stores, like Goodwill and stuff, and it's been kind of twisted because my goal is to try to find, like, vintage metal. Like, yeah. Old Dokken and Dio records and, you know, like, either vinyls, which I don't have a record player, or old CDs, right? What I've been getting is, like, vintage country shit. Like, left and right. But it's, like, brand new, like, unwrapped CDs for, like, 99 cents.
Oh,
that have, like, 20 or 30 songs on them. And I'm like, 99 cents? And then you take them up to the register. They're like, oh, it's Yellow Tag Day. It's 25 cents right now. And you're like, well, cool.
Oh, dude, I hit Goodwills at least 3 times a day. And the same Goodwill, they constantly put stuff up all day.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go, like, an hour before closing, that's where they're putting all the stuff out for the next day. So, yeah, you can pick up some stuff, man. I hit some estate sales this past weekend. I picked up a Dokken cassette, Steppenwolf cassette, and somebody had a, it was a copy, somebody made a copy of two Pantera albums on the cassette too. I've been jamming to that in my hand. Oh yeah, you can find some cool. The funniest thing I found this weekend was a The Expert Guide to Rolling a Joint book that I found at one estate sale, which I wasn't leaving that behind. I picked it up just to have it.
Well, I started picking up same thing, like VHS.
Mm-hmm.
Since you said you collected them, well, dude, I got brand new. Like, I sent you that one picture, like, still wrapped up, yeah. Porky's, right?
Yeah.
Got it for a quarter.
You get them cheap, man.
And, you know, I brought it home. My wife's kind of laughing at me because I got, you know, I grabbed a couple. But I was like, okay, so I got Young Frankenstein, Transformers the movie on the DVD, Porky's, and like three other movies on VHS.
Right.
I got two or three CDs. I got this big old stack of media, and it was like $4.
Oh, there's nothing over there, dude.
And it was so cheap. It was, and my wife's like, VHS, huh? I was like, well, we got the VHS player, because we bought that VHS recorder.
Mm-hmm.
The girls are watching VHS, old Disney movies and stuff. It's like, I got Young Frankenstein for a quarter. If it works once, it's better than rental.
Well, yeah. You know? You can't beat it. I found I don't know if you watched this when you were a kid, but Captain Kangaroo. I got a Captain Kangaroo VHS tape this past weekend. I haven't broken out yet, but I can't wait to watch it, man. I loved Captain Kangaroo when I was a kid. As we got Captain Stern playing in the background, Mr. Bernie Wrightson's own creation there.
The heavy metal.
Yeah. I picked that up at an antique market this past weekend. $2.
Good stuff.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Clear.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's the VHS.
Well, here we are. It is February 6th, 2017. We're in episode 17. Our new president has just taken office, so we thought it would be apropos to speak about aliens. This is our episode all about those visitors from... Not down south, but just a little bit, you know,
yeah, so
the other direction.
Aliens, but
and no, one didn't have anything to do with the other. I just noticed that as I was reading the date and the title. But
Do you think aliens exist?
I don't see how they could possibly not.
Exactly, and that's what I tell people all the time.
It's a mathematical thing. Now,
exactly.
There's a thing that I'll go into as far as why we haven't seen them. Or why it's unlikely that we will after we get out of the history segment.
Okay.
So, but right now, even before we go into the history segment, I do want to announce that the Amazon store, the Scary Dad's Haunted Market, is open for business. It's there. You have to go to scarydad.com. Across the top banner, it says Scary Dad's Haunted Market. You click on that link, it'll take you to the coolest stuff Amazon has to offer.
And we will be adding more and more items to it for your pleasure.
Every single day, more stuff coming up. Really and truly, all it is it's just like you shopping on Amazon, but rather than having to sit through and search and look and see what's cool,
we already did it for you.
I have a couple hours every night to kind of dick around on the internet, and... if I see something that's neat, I link through and just add it to the store. So, that said, let's get into history. It's kind of a quiet day for history. Main history thing was, you know, horror related, was in this date, 1959, was the first successful test firing of the Titan intercontinental ballistic missile.
Mm-hmm.
So, that was good. Nothing else real notable on this date of history. We do have a lot of
winter. It's cold.
We do have a lot of births. So I'm going to start this date in 1756. Aaron Burr.
Okay.
Most famous for shooting Alexander Hamilton right in the nutsack.
Yes.
Killing him dead. He didn't get arrested for killing a man in an illegal duel, but it did ruin his political career.
Yes.
As it probably should. In 1853, Mr. Jeb Stuart, the famous Confederate general.
Okay.
More famous, to me, because he's like a great, great, great uncle.
I was about to ask about the relation.
Yeah, he's... my dad told me the story about whenever he was a little kid, they went to some cousin's house in East Texas, like up near Tyler somewhere, where his sword, they have his sword on the mantle. Not exactly sure who those people are. If you know, I might be friends with them on Facebook or friends with their relations. But yeah, basically, and we mentioned it in the voodoo episode, mm-hmm. that he died in battle, but afterwards, whenever the Yankees were sweeping the South and looking for the old generals and higher ups, his family ditched. And went out west. So they landed in Texas and Louisiana area.
Okay.
And so here we are. 1911, Mr. Ronald Reagan.
Ronald Reagan, actor, politician, and just lived to a ripe old age and accomplished a lot in his life.
He did. Don't have enough time to go over it all. And very little of it's scary.
Yeah.
One year later, Eva Braun.
Okay, really? I did not realize they were that close in age.
Yeah, that's Hitler's girlfriend.
Yeah.
Hitler's wife, girlfriend. I don't know if they were married, but...
I think it was just his girlfriend, I recall. Yep.
Evil ass bitch.
His side piece.
1917, Zsa Zsa Gabor. She keeps popping up in our...
You
in our
noticed post. That too, huh?
Dude, what's up? It's like a Kardashian, like you said. It's
the
like,
worst game show... panelist ever in the history of game shows. She was horrible in Match Game. That's one thing I remember about her.
1945, Mr. Bob Marley.
Great one to talk about, man. Bob Marley is this legend's one of the greatest albums ever made.
Just about every one of his records is the greatest album ever made.
Oh yeah. Yes.
You can put on a Bob Marley record, any record. You can close your eyes, you can fast forward to any song and let it play. And you're never unhappy.
Now, my son is a fan of all his sons and the music they do also, because he has three sons altogether that actually perform now. Of course, Ziggy sounds the most like his dad. He's kind of stuck with the traditional stuff, but the other ones have kind of taken a hip-hop turn with their music and stuff. But just exceptional man. He wanted to play music. He wanted to play music and wanted to make people happy with music and allow his music to be some powerful political tool to be able to bring change and reform. A lot of artists today can learn a lot from Bob Marley and his philosophy.
It's funny. We're sitting here. If you see a picture of our rig, we've got a little digital recorder and a little microphone I got off Amazon. And, the revenue that we may one day get might be able to upgrade some of our gear. But our philosophy here is that the content is the most important.
Yep.
And we're not going to spend a bunch of money on gear not be able to afford beer. That would not make for a good day. But there's this picture. I have this Bob Marley record. I have it, or I used to have it, but it was a retrospective, and it showed a picture of him and the Wailers back in Jamaica, and they're all sitting around outside on those folding metal chairs.
Mm-hmm.
And he's sitting in the middle, and they're all around him, and then there's a dude that's got a microphone. Not on a boom, but he's got like a broomstick, and the cord's tied around the broomstick, and he's hanging a microphone in the middle, catching it all. And it was like, that's how they recorded their first bunch of stuff, their demos.
Yeah.
Those songs were on that record, and they sounded almost, except for a little bit of raw, little kind of underproduced, but the bones were all there.
No, when he sings about being in the slums of Jamaica, that's where he came from. That's where he recorded his music.
Oh, absolutely. But the music was there. The melodies were there. The lyrics, like all of it. And this is before he even grew his hair out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's still got the real short right. haircut. He's sitting there, and it's just beautiful. It's like just that raw, right, straight down to earth, where he's from, you know, sound.
Right. And, beautiful. You know, speaking of the Wailers, Peter Tosh, I've always been a big fan of Peter Tosh also. Now, he was the Malcolm X to Bob Marley's Martin Luther. You know, he was a little bit more radical and stuff. And his music, you can hear it in his music.
But, he's a little angrier.
Oh, yeah, very much so.
Just a little.
Very much so. But, yeah, he's. I have a ton of his albums also. I always enjoyed Peter Tosh's music, too. Reggae, I used to listen to a lot of reggae. Killer Bees used to play in Lafayette all the time, which my cousin was friends with them. And we'd end up in the back room somehow, visiting with them and everything. Reggae is a good music to just relax to and chill.
It makes you happy.
Oh, yeah.
No matter what's going on, you just kind of kick back.
And there's an excellent Bob Marley documentary on Netflix. Yes. It goes through a lot of the stuff that they went through when when Bob got shot. Then he went ahead and he still played his same concert that night because he didn't want people to think that, you know, they could stop the music from getting to him, because the music, he wanted it to be a tool, you know. He wanted it to be powerful enough to cause change. And he did, man.
Incredible. Way too young. Died way too young. Next one we have Kathy Najimy. Peggy Hill.
Mm-hmm.
She was born on this day in 1957. 1962.
We had two totally different musical, I guess you could kind of say icons, because they're very well known.
62, we got Axl Rose. 66, we got Rick Astley.
They share a birthday. How do you like that? Under the same moon, those two.
And notable deaths in 1994, comic legend Jack
yes.
Kirby.
You would not have the X-Men or many other characters if it wasn't for Kirby.
Yeah. Guy didn't get a lot of credit in his life.
Stan Lee kind of jumped to the forefront and everything.
To light, a lot of the stuff that he gave. So that's the history segment. If you like the history segment, I find it interesting. Like, it's I enjoy doing it. It's kind of just neat to see kind of what's going on in the world. You know, we talk about things that are scary, things that are funny in a scary way, back and forth.
Pop culture references.
It's interesting to see, like, you know, when a lot of these people were born and kind of what the way the world was turning at that right. time. So, you know, a lot of our stuff that we consider scary for one reason or another is shaped by the environment it came up in. Yep. So, so we're here to talk about aliens.
Okay, you know, when you brought up the thing about just mathematically it has to happen. You know, Rudy Rucker, I bring him up every once in a while. He's a mathematician who also wrote a lot of books about reality and, you know, just everything else. When I was in high school, I used to read him a lot, and I still read him every once in a while. But the way he looked at it was, you know, space—if space is an infinite frontier, and one way to define infinity is just a circle, an endless line that doesn't stop—it's safe to say that right now, somewhere out there, there's two guys sitting at the table with a microphone between them, having this exact same conversation, because infinity should repeat itself. It has to,
right?
Eventually. So yeah, the existence of life out there is a definite to me. I don't see how it couldn't happen.
Well, I think they found life on Mars. If it's not alive, they found remnants of life. You know, no, I don't know the details on it. What I was going to say, one of the reasons why, I am not a skeptic when it comes to the concept of alien life, but I am something of a skeptic when it comes to visitations.
Mm-hmm.
There's really a couple of reasons why I didn't prepare for it, so I don't know the name of it, but essentially it's called the Fermi paradox, Fermi, and Fermi was a physicist, and essentially his paradox was saying that just like the universe is infinite, the Earth is an average sized planet circling an average sized star. There are probably trillions of like systems
right.
across the universe. So the fact, the idea that life exists is almost fully a given. But the mainstream, and you have to go with the mainstream because you, we'll get on conspiracy theory holes in a little bit, but the mainstream science says that we haven't made contact with anything. And why is that? And then we look at our own history and how on our planet we are, with exceptions of maybe some cetaceans like dolphins and whales, mm-hmm. we are the singular intelligent life form on this planet. And we only exist by a series of evolutionary, just fortunate events.
Yeah.
At any given time, we could have been snuffed out. Simple changes to atmosphere. So us existing is a mathematical, statistical anomaly. Once you factor that in, we kill each other a lot.
Right.
The only reason that we have space travel is because we strapped a guy to a nuclear bomb and shot him into space.
Good luck.
To show up our rivals on the other side of the world.
Right.
Nobody went to the moon or went into orbit so that we could have MTV stream us videos. Like, that was all ancillary. We retrofit weapons-grade technology to make a show to an enemy. So we're not really, I mean, we would like to think of ourselves in terms of a Star Trek, but we're really not.
No.
We're not really colonists, and, you know, it's financially unfeasible. When you take all of these things, like financial feasibility and everything, and you apply those to a similar species somewhere out there, the fact is that, you know, we get up to a certain point in our technological evolution, and then we kill each other and set ourselves back to the Stone Age.
Right.
And I believe that that has happened multiple times on Earth. You know, we'll get into conspiracies and, like, ancient aliens and stuff. I believe the ancient aliens are us. I believe that...
Joe Rogan speaks about that a lot.
You know...
Because he talks about how, you know, just when you think about the pyramids and what it took for the construction of the pyramids, you know, you're talking about, you know, we believe that these were constructed by someone that they had nowhere near the technology we have today, yet they were able to construct these pyramids with, you know, multi-ton bricks that would take, you know, years to be able to build and take from the quarry to the location of the pyramid. Really? You know, you got to think, you know, there may have been another way that it was done. May have been a society that was so advanced that, you know, they actually had telepathy where they could move stuff with their minds and everything. And but the way he looks at it is they didn't just, the way they died away from existence is they just stopped reproducing. They became so intellectually, it was just high that they didn't need that anymore. You know, there was no more relationships. It was just, you know, them existing within themselves, and they just disappeared.
Well,
and then one day, some, you know, somebody from the woods walked up to a pyramid and said, "I'm gonna draw some pictures on the wall." And next thing you know, you have what we come from.
And I've seen that act with Joe Rogan, but also, I mean, you go down to South Central America. We went down. You know, we're looking at Chichen Itza.
And, yeah.
You know, you go to the tour guides, and every time you look at these, they talk about the Mayans, and, oh, what happened to the Mayans? And the Mayans just disappeared,
right.
And where did they go? And the tour guides down there, they're like, this is not a mystery. It's never been a mystery. We know exactly where the Mayans went, and where they went was away. And he explained that the Mayans built with stone and fire-hardened clay that had to be fired at such a great temperature that they needed massive furnaces in order to create these building materials, which was essentially just concrete. Well, they cut down the rainforest, they burnt all of their natural habitat and paved over it to where they literally changed the weather mm-hmm. over time. They went from being a tropical dry climate or tropical wet climate to being a concrete
hot and dry.
Crops started failing. Their elders, their religious leaders and their political leaders, who kept trying to kick that can a little further rather than trying to change anything, eventually got ousted. Their society sort of just fell apart, and people just went where the food was, which was not there. Right. They abandoned those areas.
And they forgot about it.
And they just went somewhere else. The same thing, Dan Carlin from the Hardcore History Podcast talks about, like, the Statue of Liberty moment, like, from Planet of the Apes, where it seems like a completely different world until you turn that corner and you realize that you've been here all along.
Right.
And how amazed, like, the Germanic tribes several generations down that did not have the technology and could never understand how the Romans were able to build the aqueducts and the stone housing and all of this stuff. To them, it was built by giants at some point in the past. Same thing, just as mystical as the aliens that we talk about now,
yeah.
But it was still just us. It was just an advanced civilization that hit the end of its rope.
Yeah.
And then the waves receded back. So, and again, I don't debunk. I'm not saying that I don't believe in it. I'm just saying that whenever it comes down to these discussions, I'm not as skeptical as I'm more like, I'm always looking into the...
It's a plausible theory.
You know, so that's my thing on it. How about yours? Your
well, I definitely believe in existence, like I said. As far as, I've seen things at night when I used to work offshore that makes me wonder if we have been visited. Mm-hmm. When I worked offshore for 2.5 years on the same rig, on the same platform, about 150 miles south of Louisiana, middle of the ocean, right at the continental shelf. And it just so happened that there was a waterway right there that was used by, it was a shipping channel. It was right there by our rig. So we'd see boats going by all the time, battleships and everything. That's when they come through the Gulf, they would come through that channel right there. And just at night, we'd see just really weird things. I remember me and my derrick hand were on the handrail one night smoking a cigarette, and we saw this light, very, very bright light. And you know what an airplane looks like whenever it's flying. Well, this light was pretty stationary, and it came a little close, and then all of a sudden it disappeared. And it popped up again, you know, several miles away, all of a sudden out of nowhere. And it kept buzzing around the rig a little bit, and that, you know, that kind of stuff, it just makes you wonder and everything. But like you were talking about, you know, the theory that, you know, we're just... our civilization has been cyclical for all this time. You know, it builds itself up and it brings itself back down. It explains a lot of things that we wonder, you know, that we think we sometimes attribute to aliens, you know, visitors from outer space. It makes a lot of sense. I don't know if you ever heard of the Coral Castle in Florida. It's one thing I need to read up on it again because I haven't looked at it in a long time, but it's this guy in Florida that built this castle out of these huge, you know, 3-ton pieces of coral that he claims that he came up with a way to where he could move these pieces of coral by himself, and he never shared how he did it or anything, but there was never any cranes there, never anything that somebody would use to move that kind of stuff. But he built this huge castle and wow. wall and everything out of these giant pieces of coral that a normal person couldn't move, but he had a way that he figured it's the same way they built the pyramids. And it was a society, just more advanced people that had these methods and stuff. So it's one thing to check out Coral Castle. It's pretty neat. There's a few documentaries on YouTube about it.
Right.
But it's pretty cool. It was back in the 50s, I think, this guy was doing all this stuff. But it's nuts when you look at it.
Yeah, the alien stuff, especially if it is aliens for whatever reason, for me anyway, it's a little less scary. Because to be getting looked at, maybe buzzed by... You know, think of it like a scuba diver just kind of looking at some fish. That's a little less scary than thinking it's just like it's the government, you know, with super advanced, like, species killing technology right. that they're just waiting to launch on us. Like,
just a big experiment.
But, you know, that the concept of, we were talking about it earlier, scary aliens are kind of the motif.
The norm.
They're the norm. Funny aliens, friendly aliens.
They weren't realistic.
They're
movies,
not...
Movies of funny aliens are not realistic at all.
Right. And we were listing, we were going to try to do a little bit of both, but the only good alien that landed on our list really was E.T. And then Scott brought up a really good point whenever he said...
There's some questions about E.T. Theories have been thrown around about E.T. There we want to stop and discuss that one? Okay.
Yeah.
there is a an unmade sequel, an unfilmed sequel that was supposed to have come out from E.T. called, what was it called?
Nocturnal Fears.
Nocturnal Fears, that was it. And essentially what the sequel was supposed to be, the aliens come to try to find him, to wonder what happened to him. And they come to the same woods and everything, and they end up abducting the children from the first movie. Elliot, Gertie, the rest of them, they get taken to the ship and they get tortured while these aliens are trying to figure out what happened to their friend. And just the when you hear it described to you, just the visuals of the little girl from the first movie screaming for her mom as aliens are torturing her is just scary as all get out. And apparently the way the sequel was going to work is E.T. was going to show up and save the day. Little finger glowing and stomach glowing and everything else. And that brings to the point, you know, if his race could be that sinister, was E.T. actually an alien that was on the cusp of, you know, dying because he got left behind? So he found this kid that he knew he could take the kid's life force so that he could continue existing and continue living. And, you know, that's why they were connected to the point to where the kid started dying as E.T. started dying. Mm-hmm. You know, was E.T. just draining him, kind of like, what's her name? Damn it, from X-Men.
Rogue.
Just like Rogue, just pulling his life force for his own use, you know.
He's put himself on life support.
That's an interesting twist to it.
Well, you know, we're going to do a whole episode on it at some point in the future, but we can just pause here for a moment and talk about how stupidly frightening 80s kids movies were.
Yeah.
I mean,
There are so many
movies that I'm like, oh, you know, that would be great for my little girl to watch, and then I'll watch it with her, and I'm just sitting there with, like, jaw dropped, like, oh, yeah. And it's some of it's, like completely pointless cursing.
Yeah.
Like absolutely, like, it is out of context. Like, I cuss like a sailor, but it's, like, out of context cursing. It's like, but we've got to have the fat kids say fuck for some reason.
Yeah.
You know?
Because it's funny and because, it's cute.
Right. So there's all that, and then there's just like those scenes that are just dark frightening. And frightening,
yes.
You know, we've talked about Gremlins. You know, that was a children's Christmas movie.
Yeah.
Scary as hell. You know, E.T.
E.T. was marketed to kids. And the scene where, you know, they're being tortured by the government, that's scary as hell, mm-hmm. man. It's an emotional scene for a kid to watch.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and then when E.T. starts turning white. And,
yeah, he's dying. He's dying. He's seeing a dead body.
You know, I mean, filmmakers in the 80s were sinister. I mean, Indiana Jones, the second Indiana Jones. Well, the first one with the face melting.
Like, yes.
Let's not forget the face melting, but the second one with the burning heart still beating, being ripped out of the guy.
Yeah, that's at what age should a child start looking at that?
I saw it when it came out. And I wasn't, I mean, it was scary, but I wasn't like really thrown by it
either. That's just the odd thing, you know. Back then, I remember being about 11 or 12 years old and my mom taking me and my cousin to see Nice Dreams. At the theater.
The ice cream that eats you from the inside.
The Cheech and Chong movie where they're
with the nudity. That's the stuff. That's the ice cream that turns into the blob when you eat it.
Okay,
that's
yes, what I yeah, about. Yeah.
No, no.
Okay. No, but, you know, it's an R-rated movie, and, it, you know, at that time, my mom never got out of the car. She actually screamed from her window, they can go and see it. And they let us in to see it. You know, it was just...
That's great.
They let us see all kinds of stuff that we shouldn't have seen. And it wasn't that big of a deal back then. But now you look at it, and you're like, what the hell was I doing watching stuff like that?
Yeah.
You know, me and my cousin watched horror movies just constantly when we were, you know, from the age of 8 on. I shouldn't have been watching that stuff, you know. If anything, according to psychologists, I should be, you know, a serial killer by now. But it was just odd. It was an odd culture at that time.
As my daughter has the same, like, curiosity I do. Like, she's not allowed to watch the scary movies. But you'll see, like, I'll have a picture of Jason Voorhees, for example, like, up on my computer because I was researching for that one episode. Mm-hmm. And she'll come in there and be like, what's his name? Why does he wear the mask? Is he just mean? And she, like, starts, like, she knows she's not going to be able to watch the movie, but she wants to know the story behind it. Like, what's up with this? And that was exactly how I was. I was inquisitive, but, you know, too young to watch. But, yeah. So I have it written down here that 80s kids movies were brutal.
Yeah, they were.
So, you know, I remember, you know, there's several on here. You know, like the thing is more cerebral.
It's very cerebral.
You're not gonna appreciate that one as a kid because it's kind of bleak with the snow.
But it's got some cool effects.
But I saw that as a kid, and I didn't like it as much. When I'm a grown-up now, I love it.
Right? See, what I remember the most when I was a kid was the scene with the dogs. And just the visuals of that scene with the one dog that is he has all these arms coming out and these little, you know, things flapping around trying to grab other stuff. That was just a cool-ass scene to me when I was a kid. That was the, you know, that kind of stuff I enjoyed about the movie, but I didn't really understand what the hell was going on.
Mm-hmm.
This dude has some cool shit in it. Now I love that. That's one of my favorite horror movies, man. It's an excellent, excellent movie. Very well written, great acting.
Have you seen the one that came out?
Remake? No, I haven't.
It's not a remake.
Okay. Oh, all right.
It's like a concurrent sequel.
Okay.
So that it's in the thing. I'm trying to remember timelines, but somebody comes from a camp that was destroyed. There's a stranger that comes, correct?
Well, the first one, they're chasing that dog. The guys from the other camp, the Swedish or Norwegians, whatever they were, they're in a helicopter chasing that dog. The guys in the U.S. camp, they don't know what the hell's going on. So when the dude in the helicopter's trying to shoot the dog or the dog's next to him, they start shooting back at him and they kill him. And they don't realize why they're trying to kill the dog.
That's my timeline that I'm looking for. The remake is the people going to the other camp.
Okay.
And finding it ripped up.
Okay.
So, at the end of the remake, they fly away chasing the dog.
Okay.
It's not a remake. It's like a concurrent, it's like a prequel, sequel, sort of like, here's what happened just before we see these people come in.
Okay.
So
sorry. What happened at the Norwegian camp or whatever it was. Yeah. That's what.
Because I saw it. I was listening to another horror podcast, and they're like, "No, it's really good. You should check it out."
I have to do that then.
So, it's good. And
the scene when they're testing the blood—that was another one when I was a kid. It was just crazy, dude. He hits the hot wire in there, and shit starts flying out. And the guys start shaking. Everybody's tied to him. It's a great movie, man. It's a really great movie.
The thing itself, the John Carpenter's The Thing, is a remake of one from the 50s, I think.
Yes, yeah, it is. You know? It is.
So,
just the acting wasn't as good.
That polar ice.
Well, just that, you know, being out in the middle of nowhere, you know, you can't get any kind of help. If you stay outside too long, you're going to die.
Mm-hmm.
It's scary. Just like underwater movies, you know, when people are in real, real deep water, it's scary as hell, man.
Like in The Abyss.
The Abyss, yes.
Another alien movie.
Yes, it was a very good one, Michael Biehn. It was Michael Biehn going psychotic. To me, that was a great acting job by him. He did real good in that movie. But the visual effects in it, you know, those aliens were a little bit nicer. You know, the main nemesis in the movie is Michael Biehn, so it's a human.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a cool movie. And like, it all has to do with you're stuck underwater. There's no way out. If you walk out, you're going to drown. You know, what are you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
It's scary shit, man.
The scenes where those submersibles collapse.
Yeah.
That's just the pounds, you know, just the tons of pressure.
Pressure is a phenomenal thing. I mean, working in oil field, drilling oil wells, you learn a lot about pressure and what it can do. And, you know, the deepest water I've ever done a well in is about 10,000 feet. It's a lot of pressure. 10,000 foot of water, that column is a tremendous amount of pressure. And, you know, they send ROVs down there and everything because you're not going to send a person driving anything down mm-hmm. there that deep. I remember we used to catch fish. We used to catch grouper about 400 foot down. And if you'd pull them up too fast to where, you know, they couldn't adjust, they would pop by the time you get them up top. Oh, they'd die quick.
They'd get the bends too.
Yeah, yep. Yeah, because they're not allowed to go ahead and decompress and set themselves up. And they would die all the time. And it's a huge grouper, bro. That's why you kind of do it slow because you wouldn't want to kill them that way. Mm. It's just cruel. But I've seen it happen before. Yeah, pressure's a motherfucker, man.
You're making me hungry. I love grouper.
Me too. Okay, where do you want to go to next?
I was going
to
say, probably, you know, we skipped ahead just talking about the E.T. because the segue with the kids stuff, but probably one of the first major alien concept would be War of the Worlds.
Yes.
Because it was a radio drama.
Yeah.
And it made a few subpar movies, but the radio drama is what gets the most.
Well, a lot of people thought that it was real. They thought it was an actual event that was occurring back when it came on the radio originally.
Mm-hmm.
It was that realistic. You know, and it just played into the fears of people, you know, what's out there. And evil aliens is all that it could possibly be. They're not going to be here to help us, so it,
Yeah. But it continues with the evil. It started with the evil, continues down the line. Mm-hmm. These things are sinister. They're not necessarily, you know, they're not our friends.
Right.
We got Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Yes.
The Spores. I probably mentioned it before, but when I was about 13 or 14 years old, my dad came home from the video store with a stack of movies. And he's like, this is where we start your education. So he had a list of movies that you just have to see. It's like, just these are, and it was like Cool Hand Luke and the Great Escape, Steve McQueen.
Okay.
Bullet, Invasion of the Body Snatchers, the original Psycho. It just, we'd watch a bunch of movies together, and then we'd go return them, and he'd bring home another stack.
Right.
And, you know, being that age, you know, kind of that, like, late 80s, early 90s, when you got your own shit going on, and you're like, I don't watch this old, you know, whatever, but then you put it on, like, The Magnificent Seven, you know, it's just sitting there jaw-dropped.
When I first got my son to watch Cool Hand Luke, he just thought that was a phenomenal movie, and it is, man.
But Invasion of the Body Snatchers, that was one of the one, that was a movie, that was a thinker.
Mm-hmm.
You can't go to sleep.
Right.
You know?
Who's who?
Yeah. Are they a pod? Are they a replacement? Or, you know...
Right. What, and, and so many movies have played off of that theme when you look at it. They Live.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of them. Slither is another one where, you know, aliens come and they turn into you. So you don't know which ones are which, but you know they're bad. It's just it's a scary thought.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, Invasion of the Body Snatchers was kind of one of those, like, following the political lines of, like, McCarthyism, you know, the whole Red Scare concept. But the problem is, you can look back and say, oh, you know, people were, I don't want to say stupid, but people were maybe missed. Their fears were unfounded because, you know, look, here we are now, and oh wait, most developed countries follow at least 8 of the 10 planks of the Communist Manifesto. You know, we are ostensibly a socialist nation,
right,
even though we had a few town criers screaming that it was going to happen and everybody denied it was happening. And well, Invasion of the Body Snatchers was not just modern, but it's pretty prescient for the way society sort of developed over the last, you know, 50, 60 years. Again, we don't ever really discuss politics, but when it's something, you can draw a line from here to here. Specifically, like, here's a guy warning that they're among us. They're turning your friends and neighbors while you sleep without you even realizing it. And then you look at where society went from where it was back then to where it is now, it's kind of right.
Right. Well, they Live is upon the same themes. You know, the subliminal messages in They Live where, you know, consume, mm-hmm. you know, reproduce, it's just telling you, it's pretty much where our society has gone. And the same thing, somebody warning, you know, open your eyes, this is not really happening, this is what's going on. And so everybody just continuing their hypnotic state, going through their daily lives. And
there's a book, there's a short story by Stephen King, and it was aliens as well. The long story short of it was that there were aliens. They looked like spider-headed people. They were evil, evil things. But they were disguised and looked like humans. But if you smoked cigarettes, tobacco smoke caused their glamour to fail. So they had like a glamour or some, you know, that you could see through, like, the chemical in cigarette smoke allowed you to be able right. to see them, and therefore you could fight them. So that's why all the no smoking signs started going up, because they had infiltrated the government, and they were like, okay, we need to banish this.
So 25 feet away from the door.
So the fewer people that smoke, the fewer people know what's going on, and then we'll just treat everybody who smokes as like they're just crazy. And he's like running around killing people. He ends up getting caught and tried for mass murder, even though, like,
he's saving everybody.
He's saving everybody. He's trying to. That's just one of those that kind of stuck in my head.
No joke, man. When you look at the way things are turning.
Close Encounters of the Third Kind. Would you say that those were good aliens or bad? I mean, because they did steal that kid right out of his house.
Yeah. Well, I don't think they were the evil we want to take, use all your natural resources and destroy you as a civilization evil. So I would probably put them more on the leaning towards the good side and just
exploring,
you know, and just seeing a life form. Just like, you know, we would go and catch a, we find a new lizard somewhere and we go ahead and take a sample of it and bring it with us to go ahead and check out and see what it's all about. So yeah, I'd probably put them under the good category as opposed to the evil.
That was a scary one when I was a kid.
Yeah. When I was a kid, the thing I remember most is the mashed potato scene. Mm-hmm. And then, but as I got older, I watched it, and I got it somewhere in the house, somewhere around here. It's a good movie, man. It's a very good movie. I mentioned a little while ago, but Slither. Slither was a crazy movie, man.
I don't think I've seen it.
That was the one with Rooker, Michael Rooker, where the alien life form comes to Earth, and it ends up getting into him, and it's able to reproduce itself by... laying eggs in a human host, and whenever the human host, the initial one that eggs get laid in it, she ends up swelling up to the size of this room and explodes, and all these slugs take off, and every time they go in somebody's mouth, they take over the brain. And what was crazy is each slug was connected to the original alien, so whatever they saw, he would see. And it's just a crazy movie, man. And at one point, this girl's about to one's about to enter her body, but she's able to get it out. But while it's there, she sees its thoughts. And what it is, it's a species that finds planets, consumes until the planet doesn't exist anymore, and then goes to the next one. It's a good movie. I liked it. It's kind of campy. Some parts are campy, but it's a cool storyline. It's a cool plot. It's neat, man. You ought to check it out. Because the Rooker character, because the alien goes into him, and initially he looks like, you know, some Michael Rooker, but starts changing and forming and gets tentacles and all this other stuff and ends up being just this monster. And as he just keeps taking in other bodies and getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And you see at one scene, he's in the living room and these bodies are walking up to him, and as they you see him merging into him, and you know, there's like a nude butt down here and there's a head up here, and it's all becoming one of the whole. And it's pretty cool, man.
Sounds good.
It's a good movie. I highly recommend it, dude.
I'll have to check it out. Michael Rooker is, in my opinion, he's one of the more underrated actors.
Oh, yeah. 'Cause
he's brilliant in everything he's in. And he's one of those guys that he's got such a distinguished look, and he's got such a distinguished voice that he's him, but you always forget that he's him because he becomes the character,
right,
in such a way.
And you know, let me tell you, that man is one of the hardest working, you know, working with Common Palooza, I've worked with a lot of actors and everything in the hospitality group. That man is one of the hardest working cats I've ever met in my life. When he was down here last year for the con, he didn't want to disappoint. He didn't want to cancel. He was still filming. He had to film some more scenes for Guardians 2. And he didn't want to cancel the show because he's very committed to his fans, like almost to the point of fault. He would come in the morning, go to the con. I had to meet him at the airport. He would fly, go film scenes at night, sleep on the airplane, get back in the morning. I had to go meet him at the airport. He'd go sign all day, and he'd fly back to film more scenes that night.
Wow.
He did that all weekend, just because he didn't want to cancel the show. And it was funny, because like the beginning of the weekend, we were hanging out. You know, you could tell he was tired. He wasn't real talkative. He's real cool. He's very friendly. He'll talk to anybody. Just a good old country boy, man. Mm-hmm. That last night, he got some sleep, and I went meet him for breakfast that Monday morning, and he was wild man Rooker at that point, dude. Yeah, he was energized. He was going nuts. He broke my sunglasses, giving me a hug.
I mean,
That's awesome. He was fully energized. Awesome guy. I mean, if anybody ever gets a chance to meet Rooker, take it. He's a great guy to meet. My kids love him. He's real cool. And he's an excellent actor, man. Just all the movies he's been in. People don't realize how much stuff he has been in.
He's been in a lot of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And if you don't, like... He's in movies that you don't realize he's in.
Right.
Like, you're like, I haven't seen this movie in forever. Oh, whoa, he's in here.
I mentioned Tombstone. And they're like, he was in Tombstone? Yeah, he was in Tombstone. You know the blue guy from Guardians? Yeah, he was in Tombstone, too.
Reap the whirlwind. That was from Young Guns, wasn't it?
I don't think it was Young Guns. I think you're right on that one. But also, another one that people remember, Dazed and Confused. The security guard in Dazed and Confused, the mall cop. Was it Mallrats?
Mallrats.
Yeah, he was the cop in Mallrats.
He was the cop in Mallrats. I was going to say, in Dazed and Confused.
Yeah, I'm sorry, yeah.
No,
it was Mallrats.
Good stuff. Another, well, you know, we're not exactly going in any kind of timeline, but I think the next two are going to be the longest conversation, so we'll just go ahead and get this one out of the way. The aliens in Independence Day were not nice.
No, they weren't. They were looking to kill people. They didn't give anybody a chance. They just wanted to go ahead and destroy it.
They got a pretty big body count, too.
Oh, yeah. Dude, and the thing about it is that the special effects, whenever they, you know, set themselves up on the, you know, the large cities and just waited, and they had the countdown going on, when those bombs went off, that was intense, man. Mm. That was a crazy scene.
I remember seeing that in the theater with my buddies, and it was sold out. So we couldn't sit together. So, like, I was sitting here, and my other friend was sitting there, and another guy was sitting there. But you see that shit?
You get chills when you see that, man.
It was great.
Even if when you know it's coming, just because it's an intense scene. You know, it's going down, all of a sudden the explosions kick in, and then the aftershock goes through. That's some wild shit. That's scary to think that could happen.
That's just straight nuclear bombs.
Yeah. They're moving on to the next populated area.
We have that technology, too.
Yeah.
But see, and that's one of those things, is they talk about how they've been visiting us for years, you know, the aliens.
Mm-hmm.
That's another one of those things I kind of ever wonder, you know, as far as like a skepticism sort of. It's like if they didn't just arrive yesterday, if they just, you know, dropped out of hyperspace and like parked and looked down and they saw us, you know, February 6th, you know, they look down and be like, okay, well, this is the resources that exist. But if they've been visiting us for like 1,000 years, or building pyramids, or doing all this stuff, and they want to steal resources and eradicate it, why wouldn't they have done it back then when there was a lot fewer people with a lot less weapons?
It would have been a lot easier for them to just go ahead and knock it out.
Yeah. So, I don't think they're here to steal our crap.
They've been visiting for that long also. It would be hard for them to hide that fact that they've been visiting, and it would be pretty big news.
Well, and that was another one of those things of why I don't know that it's necessarily... I don't necessarily believe that the mainstream take on aliens is necessarily wrong, conspiracy theories notwithstanding, because you'd have to have whatever came from the stars would have to be complicit with every single government on the planet.
Right.
Right? They'd have to come out of the stars and give every president a phone call and be like, okay, we're going to like, we're going to steal, you're going to turn cows inside out and probe your people, but all y'all can't say anything. At the same time, everybody. You wouldn't have a rogue state like North Korea be like,
right.
Hey,
wait up.
Hey, wait, no, we're not going along with that. You know, they'd also have to communicate. And I told this because Chris Jordan from Dudes and Beer, and Randy and I were talking about it one time. I was like, there are millions of species on our planet, and we can only communicate with each other. I mean, we can make our dog sit down. We can make another animal understand what we mean in the moment.
Right.
But we can't talk. We can't explain to a dog what love is.
That's even more of a conditioned response, though. You hear the word sit, you sit.
Right.
So, yeah, he doesn't understand what the word means, Sid. Just knows when, you know, that comes up, I got to do this.
So, you know, aliens fly in, they're like, communicate, like, with light rays, like Superman or something, and their communication burns us.
Right.
You know?
That's why I like to picture my aliens like Mars Attacks going, rah, 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 rah.
Yeah.
You know, they understand each other. I have no idea what they are. Now, telepathy, that's one thing. You know, that, if there's a... You know, aliens advanced enough to where they could use telepathy, then that would be an easy way to communicate. Which is...
I thought, strangely enough, for as over the top it is, I think Mars Attacks is about as close to reality as it would actually be.
Dude had so many of those toys at one
time. Where they're just like, rah, 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 you can't understand what they're saying. their weird ass weakness is the same as us, like, you know,
they can't breathe our atmosphere.
We can't breathe our atmosphere. They blow up when they hear yodeling. You know? but Mars Attacks. I love that. I was like, you still got 2 out of 3 branches of government working for you, and that ain't bad.
Wouldn't that be exactly how the experiments would run? Let's go ahead and put her head on her chihuahua and switch the chihuahua's head over here. You know, I could see that happening. It's just a really stupid experiment.
We do that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I know.
It's like they grew an ear on a hamster. Who would ever decide to grow an ear on a hamster? Like, that hamster has one too few ears. All right, let's get down to the brass tacks, man. The king of all alien movies.
Alien. And aliens.
Which do you prefer?
Alien. No, Aliens. Well, no, Alien. Yeah, Alien's the...
The first one?
First one, yes. Yeah.
I can't really say. I like them both.
They're both good.
I think that the second one's more of an action movie, where the first one's more of a,
yeah,
a stalk, you know, suspenseful.
Well, the first one has the scene with Sigourney in her underwear, so that's kind of why that one trumps.
That's all that needs to be said. I mean,
she was hot back then, man. I met her last year. She's a very sweet lady too. But yeah, that she made those movies. You know, she was excellent. Ripley is an excellent character.
Mm-hmm.
Her fight with everything, surviving through it all. They picked the perfect person for it.
Absolutely.
But the Aliens movie, those were some scary ass aliens. You had no idea what was going to happen with them.
Yeah, the in the second one where they're just surrounded and mm-hmm. like the people are cocooned.
Yeah.
You know, they're just like, kill me, please. You know, like the horror that is involved in just being farmed out.
Right.
You know,
as an incubator.
And H.R. Geiger was a twisted individual.
I got some of his stuff here, man. What I was going to bring up, in some of the future movies, the Alien vs. Predator movie, where it delves a lot more into the background of, you know, the whole forming of the aliens themselves. It's mm-hmm. it's some crazy shit, man. They did a good job writing that movie. It's not the best Aliens movie, but the special effects and going to that background, you know, where they're at the pyramids and they have the queen alien at the bottom and they're just making her produce more and more and more so they can have things to hunt.
Did you ever read the Alien vs. Predator comics?
No, I sure didn't.
Came out by, it was by Dark Horse.
Yeah, Dark Horse did them all.
And it showed, it was very similar to, like, in premise to that, but there's human colonists on a planet, and they're kind of like farmers, and then they just start getting zapped, like, they're just getting kind of wiped out by predators.
Mm-hmm.
And then the predator, you know, the mothership of the predators comes down and drops a bunch of young warriors and a whole bunch of aliens, just kind of like... And then at some point it goes up and they've got a queen that's just chained.
Yeah.
And it's just a production line.
That's exactly what the movie was like, yeah.
And they're catching the humans and using them as and other animals and stuff and using them as incubators for that. And then the predators have to go on a hunt in order, like, as a manhood thing.
Yeah.
And one of the humans ends up helping one of the predators survive. And they become friends.
Okay, yeah, there's a rite of passage they got to go ahead and get through, the aliens and stuff.
And, you know, I remember when Predator, before the Aliens vs. Predator, but Predator itself was a pretty damn scary movie.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, somehow I saw that meme on Facebook that said that if a Batman movie told from Batman's perspective would be a lot like Predator. Or from the bad guy's perspective,
yeah,
like, would be just a lot like Predator, where they're just like...
Yeah, he's chasing, he don't know where he's coming from. He's in the shadows and everything, and it definitely would, man. Predator was a great movie. That alien was badass. When he took that mask off in the first movie, when you first see what he actually looks at,
mm-hmm.
that was an excellent, excellent bit of special effects. You know, the designers of that alien, they did a great job, man.
Stan Winston.
Okay.
That's another Stan Winston.
You know, the guy that played him is a bouncer in Dallas.
Really?
We ran into him at a club one time. Yeah, he's huge. He is a giant man, but yeah, he played the Predator. He was he's 7 foot, I think 7'1". Whether he gets paid a ridiculous amount of money to sit at a door at a club in Dallas and be a bouncer because of his size.
I imagine.
But yeah, when that movie came out, you know, Arnold was really hot at that time already. You know, it was just the body was in it. He had just started mm-hmm. acting. He was real hot at that time too. It was a cool ass movie, man.
Carl Weathers.
Yeah.
He's coming off of Rocky.
Yeah.
Dylan. You son of a bitch. Well, we're coming up on the hour mark, but I did want to mention, I don't know how this is, this is not necessarily aliens, but have you ever heard the conspiracy theory, the legend of the lost cosmonauts?
No.
There's a lot about it online. There's a lot of detail online. But the long and the short story is that there's these two guys, the Judica Cordelia brothers, they were ham radio operators, and they set up a tower in, I think it's like in Belgium somewhere. But they set up a tower to be able to listen to the space transmissions from things in orbit, and they would record them and play them back, and you know, it's like, so just any kind of transmission from any spacecraft in any language.
Right.
But so supposedly the cosmonaut, the Russian cosmonaut who's the first man in space, wasn't the first man in space. There was apparently one before that didn't make it.
Okay.
Or there was one before that did make it and they didn't say anything because he wasn't supposed to be up there.
Mm-hmm.
And then they shot the second guy up there and he got the credit.
Okay.
But these guys actually recorded cosmonauts screaming for help and dying.
Really?
When there weren't supposed to be launched, like, manned missions. And there's it's the internet, so call evidence what it is, but there is a whole lot of there's a sinkhole of links of evidence that it occurred. And then there's also a whole lot of debunkers that, you know, and official type stuff. But that is something that is plausible. I mean, you secret government program, you send somebody up there and, you know, they don't make it. You're not going to come out on TV and be like, okay, well,
we went behind your back and we did this.
We went behind your back and did this and we lost our guys. And, you know, say hi if you land on.
You'll never hear about it.
You know, but that a couple of them were actually female, too. So it makes it even more haunting because she like suffocated. Like she was up there and slowly died.
God.
And it's like, you know, I don't know. Like I said, I believe that that's pretty feasible. That there's basically skeletons in orbit out there somewhere.
Yeah, yeah, I believe so too. I'm sure a lot of things happen that we're not aware of. And like you said, if they fail, we're never going to hear about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they're successful, we probably never hear about it either. But, you know, you're talking about that. Bermuda Triangle. What do you think of that? I remember as a kid, that was like a crazy phenomenon that everybody talked about and stuff. And you don't hear much about it anymore.
I think a lot of the Bermuda Triangle came from strange weather patterns. I think they've actually, you know, they've proven that there is a lot. I mean, there's...
Yeah, stuff happens there.
There's stuff happens there. Whether it's mystical or not, or just, the, you know, it's like, have you ever been hanging around and seen dust devils in a parking lot? And they just kind of pop up at random, and you're wondering, like, why is this specific spot? And it's just the way that the wind is blowing and the natural geography, you know, what's going on. And I think they were saying that there are like water spouts and stuff that just kind of happen at random and just, but no, it's a real phenomenon.
And it's, you know, like, it's a part of the ocean where it's so deep, if anything goes down there, you'll never find it.
Yeah, but I mean, It's a thing.
Yeah, I remember back in the day, you know, people used to always talk about it.
But I think navigation and weather science has gotten so much that they can kind of avoid that shit.
Right.
But, no, it's...
Yeah, it was pretty... But like I said, as a kid, people used to always talk about aliens and that being the issue with the triangle and stuff. And, you know, it may be some kind of entrance to a parallel universe or stuff just disappears. And that was crazy stuff back then. You know, it was very unexplained and...
Well, you mentioned parallel universe. Have you heard of the Berenstain Bears parallel universe thing that's going on right now?
Mm-mm.
I'm not exactly sure the best way to describe it. It's like a mass hallucination or a massive shared memory.
My son was telling me about this. He was showing me some examples of it and everything.
The Berenstain Bears... that everybody read, everybody thinks that their name was spelled S-T-E-I-N.
Right.
Bernstein. Where in reality, their last name is spelled S-T-A-I-N. Berenstain.
Right.
Pronounced the same way, spelled different. Well, take into account that most people who read the Berenstain Bears weren't reading it. They were having it read to them by other people who could read. They never really paid attention. There are some... But... That and some other things that, like, I
my daughter was showing me a whole bunch of different things.
The little things that people remember being a certain way, and everybody remembers it this certain way, but it's not that way.
Right.
It's like a movie, Sinbad was in a movie called Shazam.
Okay.
But he wasn't. The movie does not exist, but everybody remembers it. Shaquille O'Neal was in a movie called Kazam around the same time as Sinbad was being
was
famous. And it was a genie movie. But everybody remembers Sinbad in a movie called Shazam that does not exist. And these little departures from reality.
Right.
And one thing that's very interesting, and bringing it up right here at the end, and I'll try to find the links to this, because it's the cosmonauts and everything. The Berenstain Bears had a book called Too Much Popcorn. And I remember it as real as you and I are sitting here. In the book, the parents go out, and the bears pop the popcorn, but they pop too much, and it fills up their house from top to bottom, and it's pouring out the windows. And the cubs are afraid they're going to get in trouble, so they eat it all. They just start eating popcorn.
Right.
And they get sick from eating too much popcorn, but by the time the parents come home, it's all gone, it's all cleaned up. Read that book every single night when I was a kid. It doesn't exist. My daughters read it, Berenstain Bears. It's not on any of the lists. I Googled it. It's not there. Bizarre. That thing, the crusher that I was telling you about, that green toy.
Yeah.
I remember I had that thing. It does not exist. The internet has no record of this toy that I had when I was
a kid. But you know you had it.
Oh, I know I had it.
Right.
Like, why would I make up? Like, right, I had this green monster toy that you could squish down and roll, you know, like, it's not just something you dream. Like, I had this toy. But it apparently doesn't. So I'm starting to get a little bit more towards that, like, you know, sometimes there's those little cosmic shifts that, you know.
changes things. Changes history.
Yeah. In the universe I lived in, the guy who came up with the crusher, got the green light to produce it. And then there was some sort of little pattern shift, and he got fired. Didn't make it to work that day. And he's like that.
The puppet masters came down and said, let's go ahead and change this around.
That toy didn't... even Neil Gaiman has a short story where they invent a de-inventor, where they can go... They can like walk into a place and be like, oh, television's bad, and they can de-invent it and invent it and have it never exist. And it's a very special thing, because if too many people can de-invent things, then everything will go away.
Right.
But once they do it, you'll have no memory of it having ever existed, because it never existed.
Right.
But, it's kind of... There's a lot of that.
But like I said, my daughter was showing me a whole bunch of examples of it, and it was definitely freaky.
Let's do a little bit more research on that, and we'll do another show on Parallel Universe.
Yeah,
it's getting a little freaky. Like, I've been seeing it more and more lately of, like, testimonials of people being like, there was this thing that I loved that no longer exists, and it's freaking me out.
Well, Rudy Rucker discusses, you know, how those universes can coexist within each other, and how little shifts, because, you know, everything's set up like a film. You just remove the frame from over here, and it's not there anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's... Yeah, definitely have an episode about that. That'll be fun to talk about.
Well, let's go ahead and get this one tied up and in the books. I'm going to try to find some... Alien-related music, maybe the theme song to ALF or something. I don't know.
That would be awesome.
I have no
Mark
idea.
And Mindy.
Yeah, right? I have no idea what I'm going to put on the end of this episode. As always, everybody, like, share, and comment. It doesn't take you any time. It really helps us. The more people that like our show...
The more exposure we get, the better.
Find our show, like our show, the more people that we can talk to about things. So,
yes.
That's really about it. So... Episode 17 on aliens.
It's a wrap.
All right, guys, stay scary.
Take care.